From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Frances Alonso reporting. Al-Qaeda said Tuesday that Nasir al-Wahishi, its deputy chief and leader of its potent Yemen branch, was killed in a U.S. drone strike last week. In a video statement, the group said Friday's strike in the port city of Mukalla killed Wahishi and two others. It named Qasim al-Rimi as a new leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. U.S. officials said late Monday they were working to confirm Wahishi's death and did not say whether the CIA was behind the drone attack. Wahishi was a deputy of al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri and one-time aide to former terror leader Osama bin Laden. In January, the same group claimed responsibility for the deadly assault on the offices of the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo in Paris. Meanwhile, in Geneva on Monday, Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for pro-government forces and rebels in Yemen to observe a humanitarian ceasefire.
I have emphasized the importance of having this humanitarian pause, at least 2 weeks. The Ramadan begins after 2 days. Ramadan, traditionally, is a period where people pray for peace, reflection, and harmony, reconciliation. So people of Yemen should be able to enjoy this kind of a peace.
An al-Qaeda-linked group in Libya released a list Tuesday with those that it named says died in a U.S. strike but did not include Mokhtar Belmokhtar, the main target of the bombing. The bombings were the first American airstrikes in Libya since the 2011 uprising that ousted longtime leader Muammar Gaddafi. VOA News. Kurdish fighters and Syrian rebels were in full control of the key border town of Tal Abayad on Tuesday, according to activists, after pushing out Islamic State fighters. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said the militants fled to villages south and west of the city and that a large number of landmines had been planted in Tal Abayad. Seizing the city on the Turkish border cuts off an Islamic State group's supply route to its main city of Raqqa to the south. South Korea has reported 3 new deaths as a result of the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, bringing the death toll to 19 in the largest outbreak of the disease outside the Middle East. Seoul health officials also Tuesday announced they discovered 4 new cases of the deadly virus, meaning there is now a total of 154 reported MERS infections in South Korea. Indonesia's Aceh province is taking a prominent role in assisting hundreds of Asian boat people who have settled in temporary refugee camps after a perilous journey by sea. Ron Corbin reports from Bangkok.
Under a regional agreement, the Rohingya will be able to remain at the camp for a year, while the Bangladeshis will be returned to their home country. Lillian Fan, a humanitarian worker and researcher who also works in Aceh, says it was only the local fishermen that were willing to come to the rescue of the Rohingya.
The bright spot, I think, has been the fact that ordinary people, right, so fishermen in villages, and people who, in Aceh in particular, have themselves been victims of conflict, the fishermen themselves actually conducted not just rescue, search and rescue, because they knew people were out there.
An increasing number of Muslim Rohingya have fled persecution, violence and ostracism in Myanmar's Rakhine state, where they are largely stateless. Ron Corbin for VOA News, Bangkok, Thailand.
Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir has arrived back in the Sudanese capital of Khartoum after defying a South African court order to remain in South Africa and await a decision on whether he should be arrested on international war crimes charges. Supporters of Mr. Bashir were waiting to greet him at the Khartoum airport late Monday, waving signs and photographs of the man they call the Lion of Africa. As he stepped out of the plane, Mr. Bashir greeted the throng with a wave from his walking stick and then stepped into an open-topped vehicle to drive through the crowd. Mr. Bashir left South Africa Monday, just hours before the court ruled that he should be detained and hand over to the UN-backed International Criminal Court for prosecution. A longtime confidant to former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will testify Tuesday before a congressional committee that's investigating the 2012 deadly attack on the U.S. diplomatic outpost in Benghazi, Libya. I'm Frances Alonso in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.